What's going on, everyone? I'm Patrick.
And I'm Karma.
We're the products of public school. And most importantly, we're a show that's overly sarcastic, borderline offensive, with a touch of intentional ignorance. And we are here to read through and irresponsibly speculate about the internet dumpster fire garbage clickbait so you don't have to.
Yes, we are, sir. So I thought this would be a great article for this new year. And it is called The Most Spectacular Branding Fails of the Past 25 Years.
I always like lists, and I like lists about failures.
Same. Yeah. It's the best. Or things
the
you hate.
The ones you see that bombed the most or something like that. Yeah.
Like, do you remember the homeless Barbie doll? That was an actual thing, my friends. That actually existed.
And it didn't work out too well.
Yeah. They have that in the same category as lawn darts, which are seriously awesome.
The jarts.
The homeless Barbie doll, not so much, though. Not a big market, apparently. So, the very first massive advertising fail is the Calvin Klein ad campaign that occurred in 1995 featuring kiddie porn.
Well, it was just underage girls in very, very revealing in sexual positions or poses and
like American Apparel, everything.
Everything in American Apparel. I am so convinced that the head of marketing for American Apparel is total pedophile. Yeah.
So I am one of the authorized dealers of American Apparel. So we get their wholesale catalog.
Oh, I bet you it's even worse than their ads, isn't it?
It's like seeing my 14-year-old son nude. It's so creepy, Pat.
Because it's like the 14-year-old girl or his 14-year-old girlfriend.
Yeah, it's these they look like children.
They are children.
Well, I don't think they're literally children because that'd be against the law, but they find the youngest looking people they can possibly find and then put them in underwear.
Put them in underwear and sometimes wet underwear or just see-through underwear.
Yeah,
and they're like hanging on top of each other.
Yes!
And they were literally like 16, 17 years old in those ads.
Oh, it is so creepy. So, the Calvin Klein kiddie porn campaign, that one was actually so bad that the Justice Department had to do an investigation on it. That's how bad it was. They received that many complaints that the Justice Department...
It was the cuties in 1995.
Yes! Oh my God, yes. So the Justice Department figured out it wasn't actually child porn.
Just really young looking people.
Very young. Unacceptably young. Then we have the 1996 McDonald's Arch Deluxe.
That was just they added lettuce tomato to it.
This was McDonald's swing at attracting more sophisticated adult customers with a secret mustard mayo that was a fast feeder hybrid of different ads of kids being super grossed out. So their entire marketing campaign was kids throwing up and being disgusted.
Of course. That sells burgers.
Yes. It was a total flop, and they lost over $100 million just on the marketing.
For adding lettuce and tomato and mustard mayo.
No, it wasn't that. It was having kids throwing up in the ads.
They spent $100 million on that ad campaign.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then they ended up canceling the burger.
Yeah. But, you can still get that stuff.
Yeah. Wait, the next one's the 1996... The Wow Chips. Do you remember those?
I totally do remember the Wow Chips.
They were fat-free chips.
They were.
They were made with Olestra or something of that nature, wasn't it?
It was something like that.
What it ended up doing, if you ate them, they were fat-free, but what it caused was anal leakage and like stomach cramps and anal leakage were its side effects of eating them.
Quote, severe diarrhea in most customers.
And see, the thing about it, too, is people were eating them, and they didn't let that stop them. What they would do is they would bring extra pair of underwear with them to work and an extra pair of pants just in case they shit themselves because they had to have fat-free potato chips.
All right, you also have to tell us about this one.
Oh, this is one. I always bring this up. It's Orbitz.
All right, tell us why this was an epic failure.
It was supposed to be like a lava lamp-like trip in the drink aisle, or what clearly Canadian called a texturally enhanced alternative beverage. The fruit drink featured small floating gelatin balls. Somehow the ad campaign featured such taglines as prepare to embark on a tour into the bowels of the obituarium.
Oh my God.
And drink the drink with balls.
The drink with balls.
weren't enough to make people forget about the awful taste and the gooey texture. I always bring this thing up.
You do.
Orbits.
You do.
It was like somebody blew a load a bunch of times inside your drink.
I mean, I love those new aloe drinks that have the little
aloe. No, but this was like slimy balls.
But I've never actually experienced an Orbitz drink, I don't think. But you obviously, something hurt your soul with this drink.
I may have one.
A lot.
Because it was so gross. It was like drinking water with a bunch of loogies in it.
Yeah, that does not.
It was like drinking. It was like Kool-Aid flavored. Like you're drinking fruit punch and swallowing a bunch of loogies with it.
Well, that whole campaign only survived in 1997.
Yeah, it was done at middle school for me.
But in 1999, there was Flooz, F-L-O-O-Z. I don't remember this one. Do you?
No, Flooz.com. It's for graduation.
This was apparently named for a Moroccan slang term for money. This was a digital, non-currency cash. This is before Bitcoin, you guys. It allowed people to buy e-commerce gift certificates at certain retailers because putting your credit card on the internet was super, super scary. So Whoopi Goldberg had signed on to be the spokesperson. And at the time...
Like before PayPal.
Yeah. And at the time, she was a big advocate of Flooz. But the novelty soon wore off as soon as people wearied of being handcuffed only by spending their Flooz gift cards at those specific retailers. So essentially, Flooz was like, hey, you want to buy stuff? Buy our gift card so your money is safe. And then you buy it, and then you go to Flooz to spend it, and there's only 8 places to pick from. So,
right. It's not a gift card to wherever you want it.
It's not a Visa gift card. It's just a Flooz, which is Burger King and Toys R Us and
Kohl's.
Kohl's. That's it. You want something from Macy's? Sorry.
It doesn't work. They don't take Flooz.
Yes. They don't take Flooz. Yes.
Yeah. So no wonder that failed. They're like, oh, you can only go to these 4. It's a gift card for 4 places.
I mean, on the other hand, though, this was 1999. Yeah. So there was probably so few people. This was before, I mean, I didn't start my e-commerce till 2005.
Yeah, remember when you were scared to put your credit card on the internet? Yeah. Now mine's attached to everything.
Yeah, there's autosave with my credit card numbers.
This is the one I'm using for this.
Yep, absolutely.
My bank info, here you go. I'm like, oops. Never put that on there.
Can you tell us about Pontiac Aztec?
It may have been parked in Walter White's driveway, but the Aztec, widely considered one of the ugliest cars ever made, broke bad for everyone else too. General Motors had high hopes for its attempt at attracting a grunge crowd, originally forecasting annual sales of up to 75,000. But even adding Tiger Woods as a spokesperson couldn't help this dud sell more than 27,793 in its best year ever.
Wow.
Ouch. Yeah, it was the one that Walter White, the big Aztec.
Yep.
What those things used to do is you used to be able to open up the back end of it and make it a tent.
No way.
Yeah, it was an Aztec.
I had no clue.
It was for like the grungy camping people. Like, yeah, you open up the back end of it and you ended up making a tent out of it. You could sleep in your car.
You know, I honestly think that would probably sell now.
Sleeping in your car?
No,
after 2020, of course, I'm sure of it.
No, but those people are all into tiny houses and cost
cutting. Yeah, it's like the ultimate tiny house.
Like, people love those whole campers and stuff. I think that might be a thing.
You pay all your bills digitally anyway. Yeah. So you can pay your car insurance. Yep. You can pay everything.
And then we have the Segway. So the Segway was supposed to be transportation of the future. I so remember this back in 2001. It was. This was supposed to be the thing you replace with your vehicle with. It was supposed to be the big hit.
And you drove and you went and turned with momentum, right? Like you leaned certain directions and it would go that way. Or if you leaned forward, that was gas up. And you leaned back and it was slow down.
Kind of like an airplane, I guess. Kind of. That type of control, I suppose. I've never rode one. And the reason I have it is because it looks super nerdy. And that's also the reason.
It looks so stupid doing it.
And that's also the reason for its entire failure is that people just said,
you look
like a dork.
You look like such a dork. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Get a bike or something. Like rollerblades. I mean... whatever. But that one was like, you're not even trying. What is this one here? We have the ESPN cell phone in 2006.
I don't remember this one.
This was the ESPN mobile service built specifically for sports fans. You had to pay $300 for the phone, then a monthly subscription of between $65 and $222
to get scores,
GameCast, ESPN.com content, and more. The company invested more than $150 million, including the Super Bowl ad, in the effort to get people to watch SportsCenter and to carry it in their pockets. ESPN shut it down less than a year later after launch. Insiders say it helped the company succeed in mobile since then, but at the time, it was a huge flop.
Yeah.
Well, no shit, because that's when the phone internet was totally different than the actual internet.
Totally.
It was just text,
yes,
or whatever it is, and you didn't get anything, and they charged you per minute on there.
Well, back then,
you had like a time frame.
Do you remember back then? I'm pretty sure I had a Nextel, and you had to press the button the three times to make the A turn into a C.
Oh, yeah, that was a T9.
Yeah, T9, yeah. People don't understand how easy it is now to text. It never used to be like this.
No.
It was very difficult.
You had to look at it the whole time.
And that was actually how the sending a number two instead of the word T-O or the word
came from,
T-O-O.
Because T9 was a pain in the ass.
Yeah, so it would be easier to say the letter R space, the letter U, going, the number two.
Now you're just being lazy, kids,
yes,
basically.
Absolutely. Then we have the Bank of America One Video. Anyone who's worked in a corporate environment or watched The Office knows there is always at least a small amount of Kool-Aid swilling cringe that can be found in the name of company culture. In this video, two Bank of America employees reworked U2's hit One into a company merger anthem that was filmed. They then put it on the internet. It went viral.
Oh,
and
for all the wrong reasons, I'm
totally
guessing.
Totally wrong way. Can you look that one up?
What's it called?
It is the Bank of America One, spelled out, not the number. It's not T9.
Here it is.
Now that we're the same, two great companies come together.
Oh, God.
Now
it's a little old bald guy, too, wearing a tie.
B of A, and it's one bank.
His voice isn't bad. His voice genuinely isn't.
He looks like a banker, too.
The world.
It's just ridiculous.
One spirit.
Oh, he looks serious as hell, too, dude.
I'm sure he practiced this for a long time. All right, next.
All to higher stage.
He's going to hit the high note. No, he didn't do it. Oh, well. Oh, yeah. Okay, so.
This is going to be your favorite. Microsoft Vista, or some people say Vista. It is Microsoft.
Yeah.
We hate it.
Vista was terrible.
Did you have it?
Yeah, Vista was awful.
It was the absolute... Although this new Windows 10
is right up there with it.
Has been a nightmare for me with the updates.
Every single day
but
since Windows 10.
Do you call it Vista or do you call it Vista?
Vista.
I also call it Vista. So
that's how you spell Vista.
But also Vista.
Yeah, Vista.
Either way. So this was a huge Windows update and... When I got it, it was basically forced upon us, just how Windows 10 was.
And they're making everyone have a touchscreen, or they think everybody has a
yes.
touchscreen. And I mean, I don't have a PC with a touchscreen.
And this, I don't think most people do, to tell you the truth.
They're out there, but nobody buys them.
Right,
why
maybe
would you
like
just
restaurants
be like fingering
or
your
something.
Thing, just it's a tablet on a stand at that point.
So they forced Vista down everyone's throat, and then it was just like Windows 10, super buggy, really slow, a lot of security prompts, and people hated it so much they were forced to just trash the whole freaking thing.
They just they upended it that much.
And then they came out with
revolted.
The next one that wasn't bad at all, and then they forced the Windows 10 on us, which is horrible.
Windows 8, I think, because they skipped 9.
Yes. Yes,
they just
you
were
are
like,
correct.
Right, whatever. Windows 8 was okay.
The last Windows we had before 10
was Windows 8.
Perfect. I had no issues. I was super happy. My program is all working.
Everyone's going to have a tablet now.
But yeah.
this is a PC program. I don't have a tablet.
All right, Pat, tell us about the Tropicana orange juice redesign.
The epitome of the if it ain't broke reality of brands, Tropicana thought it needed to evolve its look. So the company introduced a new sign on January 8th, 2009 to have its little makeover. Immediately met with confusion and backlash from both customers and critics alike, the backlash resulted in a 20% drop in sales, forcing Tropicana to scrap the whole thing just a few weeks later, February 23rd. So it looked like the little Tropicana orange had like a...
Yeah.
Has a dong coming up the middle of it.
There's two different pictures. One is the original Tropicana, which I think does have the orange with the dong. It's an orange with a straw sticking out of it, just like you would get, you know, it's real fresh orange juice. The next one is a very Aldi type look.
It looks just like something would say orange juice.
Yeah, it's a white package, and then it just says orange juice with a little orange splosh that almost from an angle looks like a mimosa glass. But
yeah, how bad is your marketing campaign when you change just the look of it? I got a great idea. We're going to modernize this. We're going to change the front of it. The kids will love it. And all of a sudden, you put it out there and you drop 20% immediately.
Not only that, people
you're totally getting fired.
If
right?
people are outraged over your orange juice package design,
you really
screwed
it
up.
You screwed it up because nobody should care. Nobody should care what the orange juice package design looks like.
But isn't it a great idea to stick a straw directly in the orange, like on their first package? Because you look at that and you think, you're getting pure
orange juice.
Orange juice, yeah. And then when you take that away and just make the package say orange.
Looks like you're getting orange drink.
It does. Yeah. Yes. Yes, it does.
It doesn't look
100%
real. 100%
orange food.
Or Sunny Delight. Nowhere does it say it's orange juice on
orange
that thing.
Flavor. It's 100% orange flavor.
Right.
Yep.
That's all it is.
Yep. Folgers got in really hot water, pun intended, from their coming home campaign, a.k.a. the incest ad.
Read on about this
one. So listen to this, you guys. It's certainly not the worst ad in 25 years because Calvin Klein beat them. However,
it's
definitely the one ad people associate incest with.
Okay, that's not a good ad campaign. I'm already telling you that.
Yeah, can you find this?
West Virginia is your only audience.
Can you YouTube this ad? It's called Folgers Christmas Ad 2009.
And I found it. It's Christmas Brother and Sister.
Is that literally what it says?
It does.
It's actually called Christmas Brother and Sister. All right, let's roll.
I must have the wrong house.
Sister. Oh, I missed you so much.
It's like he doesn't recognize her.
I waited up all night for you, you know.
It's a long way from West
They're
Africa.
Clearly strangers.
Real coffee.
She's in bed. She's laying in bed. Oh,
brought
someone.
You something from far away.
Really?
This dick.
Oh.
They're drinking coffee. He brought her a present.
Oh, it's going to be one of
What are you doing?
She put it
You're
on his chest.
You're my present this year.
Ooh. The best part of waking up is
having sex with your sister.
I don't think that was really that creepy.
That wasn't incesty, but it was kind of creepy.
Maybe if you already have creepy thoughts, you might think of it like that. Like, the only reason I thought it was creepy is because someone already told me it was creepy.
She looked at him lovingly in the eyes, put the bow on,
right on
him.
Yeah.
On his
yeah.
nipple, and she yeah. said, you're my present this year.
She did, but she didn't tweak the nip.
Well, I mean,
she
maybe it was just how the girl delivered it.
It was the whole thing.
Okay.
I mean, wouldn't it be different if it was a...
It was kind of
incest-y. A brother and sister who are younger waking up in the home, and then they go make coffee for their parents.
And he's got morning wood. And...
No!
All right, that's the only way it could go that way. It wasn't as incesty as...
No,
the thing
I
is,
was thinking...
But... At
I was thinking
time,
American Apparel.
A little bit incesty it is was, too it, much incesty. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A little still too much.
Yeah. The whole bow on the nip and the loving looks. We also have United Breaks Guitars. This came from 2009. Before user-generated content became a common channel for most marketers, Canadian musician Dave Carroll's last-ditch attempt to get United Airlines to pay for his guitar that was broken during transit was to make a viral YouTube smash. But a case study in the power of social media and how everything that a brand does can become brand communication. So we got to look this one up too. This is United Breaks Guitars on YouTube.
I flew United Airlines on my way to Nebraska.
It's bad.
Departed Halifax, connecting in Chicago.
Nice voice though. He has a good voice.
Just not my kind of music.
While on the ground, a passenger said from the seat behind me, "My God, they're throwing guitars out there."
Okay, it's like grandma got run over by exactly, a reindeer, but yes. For guitars in an airplane.
Yes. All right, but this next one seems pretty fascinating.
Miracle Whip, we will not tone it down. Rule number one, Miracle Whip may not be mayo, but it's also not punk rock.
Oh, God.
Or cool.
Is it? We're not going to take it.
It's a
Twisted
condiment.
Sister.
The campaign featuring hipster sandwich lovers dove headfirst into the Hello Fellow Kids, deepened on its way to being a poster child for the idea that not every brand needs to have a lifestyle attached to it. A decade later, ad agency execs still whisper its name among its worst businesses that has ever spawned.
I mean, it doesn't sound bad, but we should probably see if the video is as terrible as they make it sound.
And I'm pulling it up right now, too. Let's see.
We will not be quiet. We will not try to blend in.
So,
wow.
Disappear in the background.
A sandwich spread commercial?
Play yeah, second this is... fiddle. When we're in a sandwich, a salad, a panini or crostini. You'll know it.
When we're inside your mouth.
Yeah.
We're not like the others.
We're inside you now.
We
won't ever
try to be.
Yeah, this is totally
mixed up blend of
like,
one-of-a-kind spices.
Don't follow
we are
rules.
Miracle Whip, and we will not tone it down.
Breaking the law is fine as long as you have Miracle Whip.
Right. I don't know. That was pretty lame.
We also have the Gap logo design. This happened in 2010. So the Gap changed their logo momentarily. And people were so outraged by it because they felt like the standard blue box with the word Gap in it was heritage. When Gap attempted to change their name to plain text with a little tiny square hovering over the P, people were livid.
It's a stupid new design.
It is. Not as bad as Tropicana.
But did people still shop at the Gap?
I forgot it existed.
I didn't even know the Gap was
totally
a thing
forgot.
Still.
I totally freaking forgot. All right, Pat, give us the last one.
John Carter, 2012.
Oh.
A Disney blockbuster based on the beloved and influential sci-fi novel by Edgar Rice Burroughs, helmed to Pixar star Andrew Stanton, seems to be about as close to a sure thing as you could get in a movie. But right from the start, something was off. Some blame the confusing source material or the slow, flat trailer, or just the fact that there was no mention of Stanton's Pixar past or the story that came out from the author of Tarzan. Just to give people a reference point, a former studio marketing exec told Vulture, "This is one of the worst marketing campaigns in the history of movies. The fact that the film cost $250 million to make and they just made $30 million back in its opening weekend currently supports that theory." Wow. That was a bomb. I saw it. It was a dumb movie.
Oh, my God. Wait, there's one more I got to read. This is the AT&T 9/11 tweet/product placement. This happened in 2013.
I could already see why everyone hates this.
Yeah, this, I kind of sort of think I remember this, but maybe I don't.
This advertisement to tug on some heartstrings. I know. 9/11.
So what they did is they had an ad. It looks like it is on Twitter. And it has a person holding a phone that shows the Twin Towers
where
as
they were.
Smoke.
Is that smoke?
It looks like smoke to
or
me.
Or it looks like it's where they used to be.
Yeah. And so the person's holding a phone, and the phone screen shows the Twin Towers as smoke or a laser beam or something, but the reality of the picture in the background is that they don't exist. So I can absolutely see and why that would...
That's the ad. Yeah. There's nothing else on it. It just says AT&T.
It does never say never forget. Yeah. Yeah. But showing them as smoke or dust
on a brand new iPhone that you can buy at their store.
Yeah, that is very...
I can see how that went bad.
Very, yeah. So which ad do you think... Oh, wait, hang on. There's one more we have to do. We can't... You go ahead, read the title.
Oh, God. It's the Subway Jared's Pants Dance Game in 2015.
This is real, you guys. Okay, so this Jared, actually the guy happened.
That's their that was all in their marketing, who is now currently in jail for being a pedophile, is
had the dance pants game.
Yeah, the Jared Dance Pants. In perhaps the worst timed marketing promo ever, Subway had to go on had this game online, referencing longtime spokesman Jared Fogle's famous weight loss pants. Active at the same time that Jared Fogle pled guilty to charges of paying for sex with minors and the possession of child porn.
Yeah, dance pants game.
Yeah, the Jared Dance Pants game is not
A good idea.
Not a good
not
thing.
Not a good idea. Actually dancing in his pants.
For little kids.
Yeah, yeah. So which, okay, now that we added that one in, which do you think is the all-time worst?
The Jared Fogle Dance Pants game.
Absolutely. Which do you think is the second worst? You have the AT&T 9/11 disaster.
John Carter,
which I haven't seen, but it bombed hard.
Exactly.
We have Gap.
You know what? The orange juice thing. To where you drop 20% in your overall business just because you changed the cover of the carton that you had.
But the new carton was crappy.
The
old carton is an awesome idea. You take a straw, you stick it in an orange, it's on the carton,
and then
fresh
orange
juice.
And they suffered a 20% loss in overall sales.
I think that's kind of self-deserved, though. That was a crappy design. The ESPN phone, that sucked ass.
$300 for like a flip phone that gave you score updates for $75 a month.
But is that worse than the Segway?
You just look like a dork.
What about the Aztec? The Pontiac Aztec?
Well, people just didn't want to live in their cars. They do now. Flues.
Yeah, no. That was just a premature idea.
Yeah, I don't know. Orbitz is still pretty gross.
True, very true. With the wild chips that gave you diarrhea, that's bad.
The Calvin Klein child porn thing too.
Ooh.
But I still have to give it to the Jared Fogle pants dance.
Pants dance. We will never forget.
We will never forget. Well, that is all the time that we have here for this week. If you're bored enough, you can always follow us on Twitter or Instagram at filthfromthe80s. If you want to shoot us a text message or leave us a voicemail, it's 248-716-TAP-1. That's 248-716-TAP and the number 1.
Because if you don't tap it,
no one will. For Karma and myself, we apologize for everything, and we will see you next
week.
Bye,
guys!
Peace!
Oh, my God. Heineken also had a lighter is better ad. That's just offensive to everybody. Yeah,